This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida 2017. I'm with Chris DaCosta of Swift Fuel. Chris, we've talked not quite a year ago, about your new UL 94, and then I want to ask you about the PAFI fuels program. But let's start with the UL 94. Where are you with production and marketing of this, and how many airports do you have it on?
Okay, all of our fuel is produced and delivered out of Lafayette, Indiana, where we're based. We have, as far as I know, around 40 airports or private users around the country. As far west as San Carlos, California. As far north as Idaho, where Brett Rattan's using it on his Ski Gull. As far east as Rick Volker in Niagara Falls. And as far south as, I believe, Sebring is the furthest south. I could be wrong. We have some other deals, obviously, in progress. We're concentrated in the Midwest. We have a lot of people flying around Oshkosh. So I'm talking about Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, that kind of area. There seems to be a high concentration of airports that are excited about the fuel in that space. So pilots have been flying it, really love it. We have consistently good reports. We have more things to do than we can shake a stick at the moment. We got lots of places that are taking steps to get the fuel. One of the issues about the fuel is the availability of spare tankage. So there are either private users or airports in different locations that have taken steps to put tankage in place to allow them to be able to buy the fuel and use the fuel for their situation. So that's something we're actively helping take place in the marketplace.
MoGas, we've reported that the production of ethanol-free motor fuel is in decline, if not going to be completely extinct. Does that open up some tankage or opportunities?
I mean, it could. I mean, in the case of airports, I don't know the exact number. There's 100 or so airports around the country, and I'd say 30 or 40% of them already have our fuel, and the others are contemplating it or whatever. I mean, there's a variety of reasons why that's the case. Some people are still, their position is something allured to autogas, which in our opinion isn't always true. There are issues with autogas used in airplanes that our fuel resolves. Our fuel is substantially better in terms of octane, low vapor pressure year-round, no gum-forming compounds, commercially insured for aviation. There's things about our fuel that autogas can't compete with, and so we just have to make those things clear. And the pilots, I mean, absolutely love it. The mechanics that have torn apart engines and looked at them have all said very positive things. The pilots who say, this is a quote from one pilot we saw at Sun and Fun last year. He says, "My airplane loves this fuel." I mean, it's one thing for the pilot to love it. When he says his airplane loves it, it's just people really enjoy the fact that it's a full-purpose fuel that does everything that a fuel is supposed to do for these airplanes. Unfortunately, it only addresses the 65% of the fleet, not the whole fleet, but we're super optimistic about the fact that unleaded fuel is where the industry is going.
So it sounds to me like this is an issue of market acceptance and penetration and not production.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Could you, if you're refining it all in Indiana now, it could be refined elsewhere, I think you said before.
Actually, it could be made pretty much anywhere. We have a right, we have the sole right to the fuel. So it's where if we asked any number of other places to make it, they could make it tomorrow. It's a question of cost. Or it's really better than that, it's a question of scale. So if a very large body of people wanted to buy this fuel tomorrow, I would send a signal to some probably major oil company to make millions of gallons of it, and they could do that quickly. So it's just but before so Swift took the position that we're going to build up the market from zero to small level to medium level to high level, and when it gets big enough, we'll pass that responsibility on to others that can make it more efficiently than we can.
And the price, I was down at an airport south of Sebring here, and they just got it, and they said the price was right around what 100 low it is.
So we sell it wholesale, and then depending upon the distributors that might have a relationship with an airport and or the airport itself, which might add on a margin of their own. So the price is set by the airport. I don't set the price that a pilot would pay. But what I sell wholesale is certainly competitive with somewhere between autogas and low lead. It's in that space, And so we have to make money for us to be in business, but we're not out there gouging anybody or doing anything strange. We sell a very high-quality gasoline that happens to be an aviation gasoline quality, and that's what we sell. It just doesn't have lead in it.
And speaking of lead, the mysterious black box PAFI project, where are
be
we
nice,
with this?
Nice.
And we have a lot of pilots who ask about this, and they ask me what I hear. Well, I hear a little bit off the record here and there, but I don't hear anything official. Where are we as far as Swift is concerned?
Well, the program, as you know, started in about 2013 when they solicited fuels to be received, and then in 2014 they had 17 fuels arrive, or 17 fuels be proposed and described. And then shortly after that, they went down to 4 fuels. They started phase one testing 4 fuels. At the early part of 2016, they down selected 2 of those 4. Swift is one of those 2. And by mid-2016, they'd started the program for engine and airframe testing. And that's scheduled to last through the end of 2018, calendar year. So we're really kind of at the front end of engine and airframe testing. So there's about 20 engine test cells around the country that have been established, 19 or 20 established, to do engine testing, further engine testing. And then there's about 12 flight tests aircraft that have been identified to complete the phase two test. And that's all of that's sort of in process and working. So that process involves not only the FAA, but also the engine OEMs. I'm speaking of Lycoming, Continental, and Rotax, and then the airframers, which would be Textron for both Cessna and Beech, plus Cirrus, Piper, Robinson Helicopter, and 2 or 3 others.
Do you feel it's on track for a 2018 rollout?
I do. I think that they're working in a broad program, and it's really kind of a first time through this broad of a program with this many participants, it's understandable to expect there to be some slowdowns or some periods where the deadlines might be missed. There was a 60-day delay between the end of phase one and phase two that was not planned, and it did occur, and it was not unexpected by me. But I think that everybody is working with passion and diligence. We speak to the FAA, and we speak regularly to the OEMs all the time. So, I mean, I'm if a day goes by, or 2 or 3 days go by, and I haven't heard from either an OEM or the FAA on this program, something strange. So I would just say the communication channels are in high gear, and everybody's working diligently hard. I just left Washington, D.C. about a week or two ago with a fairly involved review, and I'm telling you, all hands are on deck. Everybody's participating. The collaboration levels are very high. They're all committed to the same thing, to success of the program. So I can only speak very highly of the work that the FAA and the extended trade organizations that represent OEMs throughout not just OEMs. So I'm talking about GAMA, General Aviation Manufacturers Association, plus EAA, plus AOPA, plus the NATA. And other organizations that are all co-participating in this effort are all actively involved.
Okay, well, thanks for the update, Chris.
Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. We've been speaking with Chris DaCosta of Swift Fuels. Thanks for listening.